The Radio Memories Network is brought to you in part by Liberated Syndication, podcast publishing made easy, libsyn.com. That's libsyn.com.
Yesterday USA, Superstation.
The Radio Memories Network welcomes you to the programs of the Yesterday USA Superstation, now available as podcasts. Sit back, close your eyes, and remember.
All time for the memory.
Happy holidays, everybody. I'm Warren Hughes, and welcome to Thanks for the Memories. Here's Fibber McGee and Molly from Christmas Day, 1953. Next week.
The Fibber McGee and Molly Show. Every weekday at this time, NBC brings you Fibber McGee and Molly transcribed. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Ralph Goodman and directed by Max Hutto. We'll join Fibber and Molly in just a moment. There's one question that probably causes more sleepless nights than all the others put together. It goes something like this. How can I save money when I hardly earn enough to keep going? That is a serious question because it involves your future and your family. But it's not hopeless. True, it's not easy to save money at first. But once it becomes a habit, it's the simplest thing you ever did. Provided you choose a plan like the payroll savings plan for buying United States savings bonds. It's the easy, painless way to ensure your future security. Just ask your employer to save a few dollars from your paycheck. Every time enough money accumulates, your employer buys your savings bonds for you automatically. Those bonds now mature in less than 10 years and pay you $4 for every $3 you put in. The payroll savings plan can mean extra money for your future. Join today. You'll feel more secure tomorrow if you buy United States savings bonds today.
Beautiful day.
Yes, it sure was.
You have been listening to an hour of recorded Christmas carols featuring some of America's foremost choral groups. Your station is WVIS in Wistful Vista.
Turn it off now, huh?
Got it. Oh, this is a mighty fine life, sweetheart.
Yep.
Cozy fire in the fireplace. Beautiful Christmas tree with presents piled around it. Good friends dropping in all day. Hasn't it been a wonderful Christmas?
Christmas will always be wonderful, Molly, as long as I get you.
Well, what a nice little speech. Aren't you sweet, dear?
That's what everybody says. Yep. Now at the Elks Club, they all say, ain't McGee sweet? Around Kramer's drugstore, they say, that McGee, he sure is sweet.
Dear.
Over at the Chinese Laundry, they say, Hong Gao Fu Yak, which translated means...
Mr. McGee is sweet?
No, that means if Mr. McGee beeps once more, I'm going to starch his undershirts.
Ah, you're cute.
Hey, did you like the presents, kiddo? I mean, did you really like them? You know, were you surprised?
Completely surprised.
Good.
The perfume was the biggest surprise, of course.
Yeah, it would be.
I said to myself, he gave me perfume the last 3 years, so I know he won't give me any perfume this year.
Yes, sir, I told Doc Neville when I bought that perfume. I told him he'd figure it that way, so I knew perfume would surprise you.
And the purse, it's just beautiful. Perfect.
Yeah, I picked it out myself.
I could tell.
I figured if I got your brown purse, you'd have to wear brown with it, you see, and black purse would just go with black clothes, so I got a purse that'll go with anything. Red, green, purple, and orange.
I love it.
Boy, this robe sure is a knockout. You're like a millionaire in silk robe. Never had a silk one before.
It becomes you, dearie.
How'd you know I wanted a silk robe? You didn't swipe one of them letters I wrote to Santa Claus, did you?
If you mean those little notes that said, Santa baby, bring me a silk robe that you left pinned to the shower curtain and pasted on my compact mirror and under your plate at breakfast. No, I never noticed them.
Just shows to go you that when two people live together as long as we have, you can read my mind.
Yes, even a fine print.
Don't forget, Christmas isn't over yet either. Don't forget, I'm taking you out for dinner tonight, any place you name. And the swankier, the better.
That's just going to be wonderful, McGee. But do you think you should spend the money? You know, you spent so much on me.
Forget it. Money's no objection. What's money? Besides, I got the dough all saved up for this.
Well, there's some wonderful places to eat.
You just pick the place, that's all. Pierre's, the Sump Room, the Ritz Vista. How about the Snark Room down at Carol's Restaurant?
Well, it ought to be someplace so special. I think I'll get the paper and look through the ad.
Look out for the Christmas tree, kiddo.
I see it. You know, I think we should have put this tree in the corner there, McGee, instead of out in the middle of the floor like this.
It's too pretty to stick away in a corner. I don't want anybody to miss this tree.
No one's missed it so far. Everyone's bumped into it at least once.
Yeah, but you notice when they finish putting the ornaments back on, they always say it's a beautiful tree. That's because...
Company. Merry Christmas. Come in.
And a Merry Christmas to you, my dear. And even to you, Sonny boy.
Oh, thanks, Doctor. Watch the tree. Watch it.
Gee, I'm sorry. It's a little close between the tree and the doorway here. Where'd this ornament fall from, Holly? Did you notice?
Just hang it back any place, Doctor. That's it.
That's a beautiful tree, Molly. In fact, your whole house looks pretty. All the Christmas decorations and everything. It's a rough time for a bachelor, you know that.
Yeah, we feel pretty fortunate, Doctor. It's been a wonderful Christmas.
Yep, and I'm going to wind it up by taking her out to the snazziest place in town for dinner, Ducky. Got any suggestions?
Oh, there are a lot of good places to eat. The swankiest place in town, of course, is that new English spot, Marlborough House.
Oh, I heard Mrs. McDonald, the president of the Third National Bank's wife, tell about it. They say it's great.
Oh, if it's good enough for the banker's wife, it's none too good for us, Tootsie. Do you know anybody there, Doc?
Yeah, Miss Callahan and I eat out there quite often. Know Lord Cobbleton very well.
Lord Cobbleton?
He's the maitre d'. Mention my name. He'll give you a good table.
Where, in the kitchen?
Oh,
well, that's what Doc considers a good table, right next to the roast beef. Right, Ducky?
As a matter of fact, DuckTale, when I'm sitting across the table from Miss Callahan with the candlelight and the soft music, I don't much notice what I'm eating.
A likely story.
She's a pretty girl, Doctor.
Molly, if you could have seen her out there the other night in her new blue formal...
Formal? She wears her formal to dinner?
Oh, sure. Everyone dresses for dinner at the Marlboro. Oh, you love it out there. Well, I gotta get moving, kid. I'm picking Doris up in 20 minutes. We're going down to Bijou.
Yeah, what you gonna see? What's the main feature?
Her beautiful blue eye.
Oh, sure.
Merry Christmas, kid.
So long.
Well, I think the love bug has bitten a big chunk out of the doctor, dear.
Yeah. You'll never miss it, kiddo. Hey, that Marlboro sounds like quite a joint, you know it? Don't say I never take you out, kiddo, because this is your night.
Wonderful.
I'll go upstairs and get out my tux and...
Oh, I don't know. That sounds awfully stuffy to me, McGee. It's only 5 o'clock. Relax a while. Let's think of another place.
Any place at all, Tootsie. You just name it, and by George, we'll have it.
Back to Wistful Vista in a minute. The tradition of religious freedom and of religious worship in America goes back to the very founding of our country. The cornerstone of our Declaration of Independence is the statement that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. So in these days of world crisis, when our nation and all its citizens need spiritual strength and guidance, all of us should think again of what religion means to us and to our country. More than anything else, it is religious faith that protects our families, our homes, and our nation. It is religious faith that makes our way of life possible. And it is religious faith that makes that way of life worthwhile. The churches of America symbolize the belief that through community worship we can gain the moral strength and courage to lead a good life. Wherever you are, whatever your faith may be sure to attend and support the church or synagogue of your choice. Take your friends and neighbors with you to church or synagogue. Light their life with faith. Bring them to worship this week.
What about that new steak and chops place out on the highway? What do they call it?
The Chapadero?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's pretty far out. Traffic's probably awful bad, too.
I know. What about the circus room at the plaza? That's a popular spot. You know, the waiters wear clown suits and the maitre d' wears a top hat and cracks a whip.
Pretty noisy. It's noisy there, isn't it? I don't care much for dinner music played on the calliope, either. I tell you what, let's make it the Ritz Vista, the Sump Room.
It's well with me, kiddo. This is your present.
Their food is the best in town, and the service is good. We could dance a little,
We can dance all night if you want to. This is your night.
Oh, wonderful. Stir up the fire a little, will you?
I'll put another log on it. There. That ought to keep a while.
Nothing like a fire in the fireplace. Isn't it pretty?
Like I say, everything's going to be just the way you want it tonight, Molly. I'll dance. I won't argue with the head waiter. Won't make snide cracks about the food. I'll even tip the hat check girl without beefing. And we'll take a taxi cab, both ways. How's that?
Wonderful.
I just want to make this a perfect Christmas for you.
It is a perfect Christmas, dearie. You're the sweetest husband any girl. Oh, point killer. Come in.
Merry Christmas, folks.
No, the same to you, Wimp.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Wimple. Come in.
My, your house looks so Christmassy. I love an open fire.
Sit down, boy. Here, let me take that big package off your hand.
Oh, thank you, Mr. McGee. I'm sorry I'm so late with your Christmas present.
Oh, now you didn't need to bother, Mr. Wimple.
Oh, no, boy. You didn't have to buy us anything.
Well, you've both been so nice to me, letting me stay here while my wife was away and everything. I just wanted to bring you a small token of...
A small token, he says. Look at the size of this box, will you, Molly? From the silver shop, too. I'll get the scissors.
Oh, that isn't for you. That box is a gift my birdwatchers group just gave me.
Oh.
I haven't had a chance to open it yet. I have your present here somewhere. Oh, dear. I had it right here in my breast pocket.
Oh, well, don't worry. I mean...
I must have dropped them someplace. They were the cutest miniature salt and pepper shakers. Cute little eagles. The one with the bald head was the salt. Oh, I feel terrible.
No, so do I. From the size of this box, I mean, I feel bad, too, losing out on a fascinating gift like a bald-headed salt shaker.
Maybe they'll turn up.
I'll look at home, because surely they might...
Yeah, bring them by any time, Wimp. No hurry. We're getting ready to get dressed, and I'm going out right now anyhow. I'm taking Molly out to Christmas dinner.
We're going to get all dressed up and go to the Sump Room, Mr. Wimple.
Oh, that's a wonderful place. And very popular, too.
I only take my wife to the best spots, of course.
I won't keep you because you really should get started. I passed her on my way over here, and the lobby is jammed. People are waiting clear out on the sidewalk.
Oh, really?
You won't have to wait more than a half hour, though, because when they're crowded like that, the waiters work very fast, and they rush the customers through pretty quickly.
Oh, they do, huh? We've never been there when they were really crowded.
Be sure and watch out for the little jumpy waiter with the bald head. He snatches your plate when you get up to dance. Well, have a pleasant dinner and Merry Christmas.
Oh, thanks, Wimp.
Thanks, Mr. Wimple. Same to you. I didn't want to go to the Sump Room anyhow.
Me neither. Plenty of better places in town to eat than getting your plate yanked out from under you just because you get up to dance by a eager waiter.
Of course there are.
Hand me that paper. I'll pick out the perfect spot, because for you, Tootsie, I want to...
You won't need the paper, dearie. I know just the place.
Good, good.
I've been thinking about it all afternoon, and there's only one place I want to be this Christmas evening.
Just name it.
Right here, at my own fireside, with you.
Yeah, but I promise to take you while I mean you to. Oh, gee, Molly. That's swell.
I'll call the delicatessen and order some sandwiches.
Good.
Put another log on the fire.
Okay.
Ah, what a wonderful Christmas.
Fibber and Molly will be right back. Each night, we at NBC take great pleasure in bringing you such fine programs as the Fibber, McGee, and Molly Show. For it is such programs as this that have throughout the years helped to build your confidence in the NBC radio network. When you set your dial to this station, you know that you will hear the finest of little radio entertainment. In sending these programs into your home for you to select freely without payment of any kind, the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations always assume the role of guardians of good taste. When you set your dial to the station where you hear the familiar three chimes, you know that you'll hear only programs which can and will be listened to and enjoyed by your whole family. And today, on Christmas, as on each day of broadcasting throughout the year, the NBC reaffirms to you its earnest hope that its programs will always be welcomed in your home and in all homes throughout America. Set your radio dial to the familiar three NBC chimes, your invitation to the best in radio entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Molly and I hope you've all had as happy a Christmas as we've had this year.
And we hope all the days of your life are as happy as this Christmas day.
Good night.
Good night, all.
NBC has brought you the Fibber, McGee, and Molly program, transcribed with Bill Thompson as Wallace Wimple, Arthur Q. Bryan as Dr. Gamble. This is John Wall inviting you to be with us again next Monday night for another visit with Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Oh, 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 oh Today's the day to start enjoying your new kitchen radio and the great lineup of shows on the NBC Radio Network.
Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Christmas Day, 1953. Next show is going to be The Great Gildersleeve from
The following program are transcribed. The Kraft Foods Company, makers of Kraft quality foods, presents Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous cheese food Velveeta. Everybody goes for Velveeta's rich yet mild cheddar cheese flavor in snacks, in sandwiches, and in hot dishes. And Velveeta, you know, helps supply important food values for milk. It's as digestible as milk itself. That's why smart homemakers keep Velveeta on hand regularly to spread or slice and to melt for grand economical hot dishes. Tomorrow,
Get Velveeta, the cheese food of Kraft quality. Well, the Christmas spirit has really taken over the great Gildersleeve's house. Tinsel and bells, gifts being tucked away in every nook and corner. What excitement. The water commissioner can scarcely sleep at night.
Lumpy mattress. I shouldn't have hidden Leroy's bicycle under my bed.
And all the wonderful mysteries of the days before Christmas. Hidden parcels, closet doors all locked.
Leroy, what you doing peeking through that keyhole?
I wasn't peeking.
Looking through a keyhole into a dark closet. You can't see nothing in there.
Yeah, I know it.
Come on, let's get a flashlight.
Now it's coming on Christmas Eve.
Gee whiz, Unc, is that all the presents you're putting under the tree?
Well, that's all for now, Leroy. I may have a couple of other little items to bring down after you're snug in your bed.
Yeah?
While visions of sugar plums dance through your head.
That's something I could never figure out. What's a sugar plum?
Well,
Make room, coming through.
Well, Marjorie with her little presents.
Little presents is right. Holy smoke, she can carry them all in one hand. What a cheapskate.
Now, Leroy.
It's all right, Unky. It doesn't bother me a bit. What dinky little packages. I bet everybody gets a doily.
The size of the package, my boy, doesn't mean a thing. It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, I know. This is going to be the best Christmas we ever had, Unky.
Well, it could be.
I have a big surprise for you.
For me?
I know, it's a motorcycle.
Yeah.
No, it's not a motorcycle. It's a wonderful surprise for a wonderful uncle.
Oh, Marjorie, don't hug me so tight.
Oop.
I heard something crack. Were they ribs?
No, Leroy, three cigars. Oh, well, I'll give them to Judge Hooker. I'll tell them they're a new brand of cigar with hinges in the middle. For smoking in phone booths.
Oh, I can hardly wait, Uncle.
Now, Marjorie, I hope you didn't buy me something expensive.
You'll never guess what it is.
Hmm?
Oh, that must be Bronco.
Yeah, that's Bronco, all right. He always rings the bell like a bear was chasing him.
Oh, Bronco, come in.
Hiya, Marge, honey.
Well, come in, Bronco.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Gildersleeve. Leroy.
Merry Christmas to you, Bronco.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, honey.
Leroy.
Little brother. You can leave your coat on, Bronco. We're all going over to the high school auditorium tonight.
Oh?
They're having the Kraft Choral Club from Chicago.
Well, that's very nice, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yeah, a lot of fine voices. Beautiful music.
What are they going to sing, Unc? That opera stuff?
No, Leroy. Christmas carols.
Bronco, I told Unky I have a surprise for him tonight.
Yeah, quite a surprise.
Oh, is Bronco in on this, too? How about a little tip, Bronco?
Oh, I couldn't do that, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I don't know what it is, but Bertie does.
Bertie? Well, you children clean up the front room. I think I'll drift out to the kitchen and have a little talk with Bertie.
You won't get anything out of Bertie, Uncle.
Well, I'm not trying to, Marjorie. I just want to see Bertie about arrangements for this evening. Of course, it wouldn't hurt to pick up a small clue. I love Christmas. Bertie!
Yes, excuse me?
I thought I'd come out and see if you're all set for tonight.
Yes, sir. Bertie's all set.
Fine. Marjorie has a little surprise for me this evening.
Yes, sir.
Of course, I know what it is.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure you know what it is, too, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
That is, you may know what it is, but just so you'll be sure, Bertie, you write what you think it is on this piece of paper, and I'll write what I know it is. Then we'll exchange pieces of paper.
All right, Mr. Gildersleeve, here's my grocery pencil.
There. Now we exchange, Bertie.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Let's see what Bertie wrote. You ain't trapping me.
Oh,
face it, Bertie, Marjorie's gone out and bought me a very nice present of some kind, and I'm a little worried about it.
Oh?
See, I don't have anything very spectacular for Marjorie. Just the usual presents for a girl.
Well, don't worry about that, Mr. Gilfies. Miss Marjorie ain't worried about what she's going to get this year. She's a grown-up lady now.
I know, Bertie, but I've got to give her something a little bit special. After all, she has this big surprise for me.
Pretty late to go buying anything now, Mr. Gilfies.
Yeah, that's right. By George, Bertie, I just had a great idea. You remember a long time ago I said when Marjorie grew up, I was going to give her my mother's diamond ring?
Yes, sir.
I was going to surprise her with it on her next birthday. But what's wrong with Christmas?
There's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing.
I'll do it, Bertie. I've got the ring up in my dresser drawer. I'll go down to Mr. Peavy's and get a fancy box for it.
Oh, that sure will please her.
You bet. Now, Bertie, don't you say a word about this to Marjorie.
No, sir. I ain't tell nobody nothing.
Don't you even give her a little hint.
I ain't tell nobody nothing.
Fine. What time is dinner?
I ain't tell nobody. Oh, I mean 6 o'clock.
Good old Bertie. Well, hello, Peavy.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this Christmas Eve?
Peavy, I need a box. Something very fancy.
Well, what would you like to have in it?
Nothing, Peavy. I just want a little empty box. It's for a Christmas present.
Empty box, eh? You're playing a little practical joke on somebody, are you?
No, Peavy, it's for a ring. I want a box for a ring.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so?
Do you have one?
I don't think so.
Peavy, you must have something around here. There's a lot of little boxes there in the showcase.
And those are all full of cold tablets.
Oh, my goodness.
How about an aspirin box? You could take the aspirin out.
Peavy, this is Marjorie's Christmas present. I'm giving her my mother's diamond ring. Most wonderful surprise of her life. Now, come on, Peavy.
Well, I think I can find you something.
Attaboy. Look at this ring. Isn't that a beauty?
My.
I've just been waiting for Marjorie to grow up so I could give it to her.
Makes me feel a little old, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Huh?
Seems like only yesterday that Marjorie was in here dangling her pigtails in a chocolate sundae.
Yeah, those pigtails are up in the attic now. I kept them both.
Very sweet girl, Marjorie.
Yes, she is, Peavy. I was thinking this afternoon while Marjorie and Leroy and I were decorating the tree how much those children mean to me. How I've cared for them and watched them grow. Yeah, they're everything I have, Peavy.
It's nice to feel that way. Makes a nice Christmas, too. All the stockings hung up by the chimney.
You bet. Too bad you didn't have any children, Peavy. Only 2 stockings on your mantle?
No, we have 3. Mrs. Peavy hangs up both of hers.
I've got to run, Peavy. I'm picking up Miss Milford, and we're all going over to the auditorium to hear the craft chorus. Why don't you folks drop over to the house later, Peavy? Christmas Eve, you know.
Well, thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve. Happy Christmas, Carol.
Yeah, see you later, Peavy. Well, the auditorium's almost full. Yeah, let's sit down here, Catherine.
Thank you, Throckmorton.
Well, you look lovely this evening.
Thank you. I feel like a debutante with this corsage you sent me.
Well, what the heck? It's Christmas. I gave the florist $375 and told him to shoot the works.
Adam!
Oop, who's that?
Look up here in the roof!
Leroy!
Oh, no. Where is he?
Way up there in the balcony, eating peanuts. Leroy, watch those shells.
Oh, look, there's Bronco and Marjorie.
Yeah, you can't miss Bronco. What a moose.
Aren't they cute together?
Yeah. You care to put your coat over the back of the seat? Get it off your shoulders?
Thank you.
Nice evening gown. Love concerts.
Shh, Throckmorton, the curtain is going up.
Ladies and gentlemen, on this Christmas Eve, it is our pleasure to present the Kraft Choral Club. Under the direction of Gerhard Schroff.
Sure. Fine-looking group. All in tuxedos. Give you a little preview of a surprise I have for Marjorie tonight. What do you think of this?
Oh, what a gorgeous ring.
I beg your pardon. Excuse me, please.
Oops, the judge late again.
Well, Gilday. Good evening, Miss Milford.
Good evening, Judge Hooker.
Sit down, Judge. You're interrupting something important.
Oh, are you presenting your lady fair with a ring?
Oh, for...
Judge, please. This is Throckmorton's gift to Marjorie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Horace, why don't you drop over after the concert and watch Marjorie's eyes light up when she sees this, huh?
Thank you, Gilda. I'll be happy to.
Here, the Peavies are coming over.
They're about to sing again, Throckmorton.
Yeah. I'd invite all the craft singers, too, but I'm afraid Bertie might run out of cheese and crackers.
Throckmorton, hush.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
This is the best part of Christmas Eve.
Very nice, Judge. Wait till we get over to our house. And Marjorie starts opening her presents. Oh, brother, I can hardly wait.
Great Gildersleeve will return in just a minute. Santa Claus season is pretty expensive, isn't it? Well, if the holiday ahead might put your food budget in the red, here's how to economize now so you'll be prepared for the splurge meals. Use up leftovers tomorrow and Friday and Saturday by dressing them up with the wonderful cheese sauce you can make with Kraft Smooth Melting Cheese Food Velveeta. You see, you can pour this Velveeta sauce over leftovers, ham or veal or fish, or just over toast, for an economical hot main dish you can make in a jiffy. That sauce will help you economize after Christmas, too, when you serve it with the last bits of the Christmas bird. For that tasty sauce, all you do is melt 1/2 pound of Velveeta in the top of your double boiler. Then gradually stir in 1/4 cup of milk and season to taste. That's all there is to it for a sauce that'll give your main dish a grand, rich, yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. And fine nourishment, too, because Velveeta is rich in important food values from milk. So for a wide variety of hot main dishes that are really economical, use good-eating Velveeta, the cheese food that's as digestible as milk itself. When you buy, be sure you get genuine Velveeta. It's the cheese food of top quality, made only by Kraft. Well, the folks have just come home from the Christmas Eve concert, and it's getting close to the big moment the great Gildersleeve has been waiting for.
Marjorie, you and Catherine come over by the fire. Bronco, why don't you throw another log on?
What? Oh, sure, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Bronco, that's the footstool.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Gildersleeve. I don't know what I was thinking about.
He's excited tonight, Unky.
What's everybody so excited about?
It's Christmas Eve, Unc. Let's light the tree and open the packages.
Yeah, I'll better light the tree, I guess. Where's that plug? Yeah. Get ready, everybody. Here go the lights.
Oh, it's perfectly beautiful, Throckmorton.
Yeah, that's quite a tree.
Isn't it wonderful? Very effective with all those lights bubbling.
Well, I'm sort of a bubbly fellow, too, around Christmas time. Why shouldn't I be? Got a lot of good friends and a wonderful little family.
You certainly have, Throckmorton.
Yes, sir, I've raised 2 fine children, and they mean all the world to me.
We go through this every year, Miss Milford.
Well, I mean it. I appreciate you more and more every year.
We appreciate you, too, Unc. Now let's open the presents.
Yeah, let's open the presents.
My surprise to you comes last, Unky.
Well, I have a surprise for you, too, Marjorie. But wait a minute. We can't open presents till the others get here.
What others?
You mean you're expecting somebody else, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, I invited Judge Hooker and the Peavies.
But, Uncle Mort, we thought it was just to be the family and Miss Milford.
Yeah, that's what we thought, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, Marjorie, I sort of wanted the judge and the Peavies to see what I have for you.
Yeah, what's wrong with having them over at Christmas? They always bring presents.
Leroy is being very practical about this.
Yeah, Christmas to Leroy is like bank night.
Yeah.
Bronco, let's bring some more chairs into the dining room, huh? Say, where's Bronco? Did he fall in the fireplace?
I think he went in your den, Unky.
Oh?
Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes, Bronco?
May I see you for a minute?
Certainly. Excuse me, everybody. Take the halls with flowers and holly.
Do you mind if we close the door, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Close the door? Is it that secret?
Well, it's about the surprise Marjorie was telling you about.
Well, don't tell me now, Bronco. I want to wait for it.
I think I should tell you, Mr. Gildersleeve, before the others come.
Huh? What difference does that make?
Well, we planned this for just you and the family. Marjorie and I were going to stand up by the tree hand in hand and give you your surprise.
Cute.
I was going to make the speech.
You? A speech?
Yes, sir. I was going to tell you that Marjorie and I want to be married.
Married? Well, sure, maybe sometime, Bronco.
Not sometime, Mr. Gildersleeve. This is definite. I'm asking you if I may marry Marjorie.
Marry Marjorie? Little Marjorie? So, this is her surprise, eh?
I love her, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Yes.
And Marjorie loves me. That's pretty important.
Yeah, I guess it is.
We've been thinking about it for a long time. I guess it's sort of sudden to you, but... Well, what do you think, Mr. Gildersleeve? We aren't going to do anything hasty, sir. We weren't even planning it until spring. Late spring. June, maybe? That's long enough to wait. Don't you think so, Mr. Gildersleeve?
I've never thought about it at all.
Well, you'll probably get used to the idea of not having Marge around by then. Wouldn't you? I've been saving my money. In fact, Marge and I aren't giving each other much for Christmas. We're looking ahead. I want to be able to take good care of Marjorie, Mr. Gildersleeve. Of course, we wouldn't do anything without your permission. So, what do you think, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Bronco, I think the other guests have arrived by now. You tell them I'll be out in a minute.
Of course, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'll tell them.
Little March. Can't believe it. Just can't imagine this house without her. Couldn't bear to go into her little room again, where I used to tuck her in, read her bedtime stories, care for her when she had measles, chicken pox. I've worked and sacrificed to raise Marjorie. Now, and she means the most to me. Somebody wants to take her away. That boy has his nerve. Who does he think he is? Who is it?
It's Calvin Throckmorton.
Oh.
Judge Hooker and the Peavies are outside. Don't you think you should join the party?
Well, I have some thinking to do. Catherine?
Yes?
Bronco and Marjorie want to get married.
Oh, I suspected something like that. Isn't it wonderful?
What's so wonderful about it?
Why, Throckmorton, I should think you'd be very proud and happy.
Happy? How would you feel if your Christmas surprise meant losing your daughter?
Well, I suppose I'm thinking more about Marjorie's happiness and Bronco's. How radiant she looks tonight and what it will mean to them. Try to remember, Throckmorton, that a mother wants more than anything else to have her daughter marry a nice young man. Somebody who will be kind and good to her. Bronco will.
My Marjorie.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Give me a little time, Catherine.
Anybody want more cocoa and popcorn balls?
Oh, no, thank you, Bertie.
Gosh, where's Unc? It's time to open the presents.
Now, Leroy, let's not be impatient.
Unc has a present under the tree for you, Judge.
He has? Where is Gildy?
Of course, when he comes out, he ought to start handing out to the little kids first.
Well, they say age before beauty, Leroy. Perhaps Peavy should receive his present first. He's the oldest man here.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Marjorie, while we're waiting for the Lord of the Manor, perhaps you'll play the piano for us.
Oh, Judge, I couldn't. I'm too excited tonight.
Well, here comes Mr. Gildersleeve.
I'm sorry if I kept everybody waiting.
What have you been doing, Gildy? Hibernating in your den?
What Santa Claus brought.
Yes, it is time to pass out the presents, isn't it? Leroy, we'll start with you. Here you are, my boy.
Oh, boy, thanks, Unc.
And Bertie, here's a package with your name on it.
Thank you, Mr. Gilfie. Old Santa Claus never forgets Bertie.
Now we come to Marjorie. I said I had a special surprise for her tonight. A number of years ago, my mother gave me her engagement ring. I guess she secretly hoped that someday I'd give it to a girl and start a little family. Well, I have a little family. A fine niece and nephew. But I haven't been very lucky on the other score. And so this Christmas, I thought I'd present my mother's ring to Marjorie.
Oh, Unky.
splendid idea.
But something has happened tonight which forces me to change my plans. Instead of giving the ring to Marjorie, I want to give it to Bronco to give to Marjorie.
Me, Mr. Gildersleeve? You want me to give it to her?
Here, Bronco. Read the card.
To Marjorie, for always, from Bronco.
Bronco is joining our little family.
Oh, Unky, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve, very much. We hadn't planned to have an engagement ring.
I hope you'll be very happy, both of you.
Let me shake your hand, my boy.
Thank you. Wonderful. So happy for you, Marjorie. Gosh, Unc, is Marjorie leaving us?
Well, let's not talk about that now, huh, my boy? Bertie, isn't it time for your little Christmas song?
Yes, sir, if Miss Marjorie feels like playing the piano.
I never felt more like it in my life.
Fine. This is a little lullaby Bertie always sang to the children since Marjorie was this high.
Mr. Harold Perry steps out of his role as the great Gildersleeve.
To wish you all a very Merry Christmas. You know, we don't often get a chance to tell you listeners how much your enthusiasm and support mean to the group of people who bring you this program every week. But we mean very sincerely that if hearing the program gives you one half the pleasure that bringing it to you gives to us, we're more than satisfied. We're glad that we had this opportunity to come into your homes and wish you all the joys and blessings of the holiday season. So it's a Merry Christmas to all of you from all of us. Walter Tetley.
Leroy.
Mary Lee Robb.
Marjorie.
Lillian Randolph.
Bertie.
Earl Ross.
Judge Hooker.
Kathy Lewis.
Katie Milford.
Dick Crinna.
Bronco.
And Dick LeGrand.
Mr. Peavy.
Yeah. And a Merry Christmas, too, from all the people behind the scenes. From Jack Meekin and the orchestra, writers Paul West, John Elliott, and Andy White. From Ray Ferguson and Monty Frazier, our engineer and sound effects artist. And from our producer-director, Fran Van Hartesfeld. And, of course, these holiday greetings come to you, too, from our sponsors, the Kraft Foods Company, their representative on this program, announcer Jay Stewart, the Kraft Choral Club, and the entire family of Kraft employees. Merry Christmas, everybody, and good night.
Ladies, Kraft Step, the delicious cheddar cheese food, is offering you a knife of 100 uses, the Super Slicer. It pairs faster, slices cleaner, removes olives and cherries from bottles in a jiffy. It's the handiest kitchen knife in years. And you can get this knife for only 25 cents and the top label of a round package of delicious Pabstet cheese food or the Red Arrow from the top of a 2-pound Pabstet loaf. Send your Pabstet label and your quarter tonight to Phoenix Pabstet, Box 5239, Chicago, 77, Illinois. Please print your return address. Portions of tonight's broadcast were transcribed. Break the Bank, radio's biggest money-paying show, is next on NBC. Thank you.
with the Great Gildersleeve from December 21, 1949. I'm Wong Hughes, and may the good Lord Jesus Christ bless you.
Yesterday, USA, Superstation.
Hi, this is Frank Brzee from the Golden Days of Radio. Over the years, I've seen most of the famous radio programs come and go. As a matter of fact, I was happy to participate in hundreds of them. Well, having worked in this medium for many years, I decided to share some of my memories. So I wrote a book titled Radio's Golden Years, A Visual Guide to the Shows and the Stars. And a visual guide it is. It's got 254 of your favorite old-time radio shows, from the Aldrich family to X-1. It's an easy-to-read reference book, for you see, it has one show on each page, illustrated by Bob Lyons. Each show has air dates, networks, announcers, stars, guests, sponsors, and popular catchphrases. Remember, "Tain't Funny, McGee"? That's from Fibber, McGee, and Molly. Or "Eyes Regusted" from the Amos and Andy programs. And the foreword is by the noted radio writer-producer Norman Corwin. He points out some of the interesting facts in the book, such as comedian Jack Benny was the only person to have a top-rated show on both NBC and CBS, or that Duffy never appeared on his own program, Duffy's Tavern. If you're an old-time radio fan, you'll want this book. It's a full 8.5 inches in size, softcover coffee table book. The cost is only $25, including priority mail, postage, and shipping. The man with a million friends swears by the book. So, if you have any doubts, just ask Bill Bragg. It's Radio's Golden Years, and the price is just $25 postpaid. Send your order to Golden Radio, Post Office Box 1222, Hollywood, California, zip 90027. That's Golden Radio, Post Office Box 1222, Hollywood, California, zip 90027. Trust me, you'll be glad you did.
Hi, this is Bill Bragg, and if you need a good announcer, don't hire me full-time, because now I'm working by the word.
Words spoken for sale or rent, attached to email and quickly sent. No agents or union dues. Bill Bragg is one cool dude. Send your copy via email or fax. He'll record it and send you the tracks. Bill Bragg's the best you've heard. He's king of the word.
Putting me to work for you is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Start out by faxing your copy to 972-8892-FAX. Then dial 972-889-TALK and listen. If you like what you hear, I'll send it by email. You can even pay online with a credit card.
Voice overs or SOTs. His big deep voice is guaranteed. All the others come in second or third. Bill Bragg is king of the word.
Prices start out at 25 cents per word with a minimum of $50.
Hi, this is James Arness, and you're listening to Bill Bragg on Yesterday USA. Bill, I want you off the air and out of town by sundown.
Yesterday USA, Superstation.
Yes, sir, Marshall. I'll do just that. Howdy to everybody. Bill Bragg coming your way. Here on the tail end of tape number 7 for the 2-week period that began on the 16th day of this wonderful year, 2006. Are you saying it yet? Have you got it down yet? How many times have you written it down wrong? Let me take just a few moments to tell you what you're getting here at Yesterday USA. You know, a lot of people don't realize how the system works. Took me a long time to figure it out. But you can pick out an hour and a half block, whatever's convenient for you, whether it be the morning, the evening, the afternoon, late at night. Just pick out an hour and a half block and listen every day for an hour and a half during this two-week period. What do you get? Well, you'll get to hear only 14 of the 16 90-minute program tapes that we prepare for you. Why is that? Well, there's only 14 days in a two-week period. So if you listen every day for an hour and a half, you'll hear only 14 of the 16 tapes. Now let me go a little further. If you listen just to our live broadcast, we do have a live broadcast every single night, 10:30 p.m. until midnight, and then some. But always 10:30 p.m. until midnight. And if you listen for an hour and a half during those times, guess what? You'll not hear any of the pre-recorded programming that we prepare for you. As a matter of fact, you need to give me a little better than 35 hours every week to hear everything that we do just one time. And I'm really, really proud of that. And we work very hard to make that possible. Now, you think about it. You work 40 hours a week. And then you need to give us a little better than 35 hours a week to hear everything that we do just one time. We're quite proud of that fact. And I challenge you to pick out any of the cable channels, whether it be the History Channel, the Science Channel, the Game Show Channel, any of your favorite channels, PBS. And you sit down and see if you can watch for 35 hours in a one-week period and not see a rerun. I don't think you can. I don't think anybody offers as much programming as Yesterday USA. And we've been doing it now for, well, we're in our 23rd year. How much does it cost? Zero. Not a thing. Oh, well, how many times do you have to listen to that irritating commercial? Well, we don't have any commercials. Commercials are something that you play, that you get money for. We don't have any of those. Every now and then Frank Brazil will come along and offer you his book. We get no money for that. And he loses money every time you order one of the books. But they're great books, all about the history of radio, and there's not many of them left. I hope you'll take advantage. Now, you'll hear some commercials inside Twilight Zone in Milford Haven. I wish that we got paid for those. That's the only way we can get the programs to air to you. So we don't count those. I'm not counting commercials that I don't get paid for. I ain't going to count them. So that's the way it works. And every 90 minutes, a new program director comes along to entertain you. Somebody with a different section of old-time radio. Somebody with a different collection of old-time radio. They become the program director for an hour and a half. Then an hour and a half later, program director number two comes in, and he decides what you're going to listen to. See, all the big stations, they have a 40-hour-a-week program director. He sits there and tells everybody what else to do and what to play. Well, he might as well do it himself. I just turn these folks loose. I say, follow the rules and play old-time radio. That's my only direction. And that's how the radio station works. I hope you'll come to the website, yesterdayusa.com, look around and find out how to support us, and then start doing so. It's a national treasure, and we want to keep on keeping on, and we're dependent on you. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And my name's Bill Bragg, and this is Yesterday USA.
precious and few are the moments we two can share.
Hi, old-time radio lovers. This is Bob Cameradale, your host at Boxcar 711 Old Time Radio Pod. Glad to be with you for a moment or two on this great network program. My reason for being here is to make an appeal to you, the listening audience, to help support this great programming, to make a donation of $1 or $2 a month to the Radio Memories Network. And that's not to my show. It's not the Boxcar 711 Old Time Radio Pod. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking you to support the network itself that offers so much more than my show. Great programming like La Jazz Affair, Big Band Serenade, Yesterday USA, The Radio Detective Story Hour, Just Old Time Radio, and Sci-Fi Friday, just to name a few. You can search the internet far and wide, and you may be able to accumulate some of these programs, but you're never going to find anything as unique as the Radio Memories Network, all under one roof and no cost to you. Now it's fundraising time, and I'm asking the listeners to these superb old-time radio programs to do their share. $1 or $2, the cost of a soda, will help to defer the cost of bandwidth and the cost of putting these programs together for your listening enjoyment. You can make your contributions, ask your questions and suggestion comments by contacting directly Mr. Dennis Humphrey at Radio Memories, that's one word, radiomemories@gmail.com. Please, don't put it off till tomorrow. The network is in financial need, and to lose Radio Memories Network would be a big loss to all of us. Again, that email address, radiomemories, one word, @gmail.com. I want to thank you in advance, and now let's get on with this outstanding program.
Precious and few are the most.